League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So, Mr. Parry, we're back.
Yes.
Another episode of On the Record.
Yeah.
Now, people listening to this might think that some of the things we say are things that have happened a while ago.
No, not at all.
But not always, because things are always ongoing.
Things are ongoing, man.
Things are ongoing all the time. There are certain themes we will revisit, right?
I'm into the third episode of Troy.
Are you?
Okay.
Is that any good?
It's terrible.
You said it was going to be great.
I thought it would be brilliant. I thought it would be about people fighting and all this.
Yeah.
But the main tenet of the plot is so ridiculous,
is
right?
It? Right.
So it is.
But this is not Porky Vision we're doing here, right?
No, but I've got to tell you this, because I'm so annoyed about and bring it right up to date with the third
episode.
Have you
been watching it sort of ahead of itself, as it were?
No, I've been watching it like One Night Behind or something like that. That's all. But listen, get this, right? So this this guy called Paris, who is cast out of his family when he's born and brought up as a peasant by wolves, okay?
Wolves,
yeah. Brought up by wolves.
Wolves and Wanderers.
The records, by wolves.
What's happened to those guys from West Brom, by the way?
Hey,
what's happened to those guys from West Brom? Has anything happened to them?
Johnny Evans last week was given back the captaincy of West Bromwich Albion.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Absolutely pathetic.
Absolutely
but
awful.
Anyway,
we'll come back to that.
Getting back to Paris. So Paris is basically the ancient version of a cowboy.
Is he?
And he rides around on a horse collating herds of goats rather than cows.
Right,
you know what I mean?
So he's goat man.
So he's goat man, that's right, yeah. Anyway, one goat runs off and he follows it into the forest,
You're
right?
You haven't eaten goat, by the way?
No.
Do you
no,
know there's a place I'm going to take you there in Borough Market
you get
called
me
Gourmet
it,
Goat?
No,
it's really good. They do it.
No,
what do you
mean,
fuck off? They do it in a...
So I didn't say that.
No, they do it.
No.
They
no,
do
no,
it in
no.
a... in like a sort of... the equivalent of a sort of... an Indian bread, right?
Ooh, not for
and
me,
it's like
thank
a kebab.
No.
And they put a bit of salad.
Do you know what goats eat?
What do you mean what they eat?
Goats eat tin cans.
Nah, they eat grass.
They do. They eat anything. They eat tin cans.
It doesn't matter.
So I'm not going to eat an animal that ingests like anything.
Why not?
Because it eats tin cans.
Well,
I don't want to meddle in my food, eh?
You eat fish fingers, right?
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what they keep finding in fish now?
No.
They keep
no,
finding
rubbish.
Plastic. No, they keep finding
not
plastic
not in the fish
now.
Fingers I eat.
Of course
mine
they do.
Mine are the highest quality.
Where do you think they come
no,
from?
No.
Listen,
rubbish.
Everything that swims in the sea now, right, is ingesting
rubbish.
More plastic
rubbish.
Than you
rubbish.
Can shake a stick at.
Anyway, we're going back to Paris,
yeah,
okay?
Right, Paris, yeah.
So he gallops off into the forest and follows his goat that's run away from the goat herd.
Right.
And these, you know... These mystical people come and
mystical.
Say, yeah, you know, well, you are Paris, you're
the chosen
one. What
do you mean, like centaurs or something, like half man, half
no,
horse?
No, just like, they're goddesses, there's three women,
are
like,
they?
You know, the three witches and all
okay,
that,
right.
from Shakespeare, Macbeth,
yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I thought this was
three,
Troy.
We three, it is Troy, yeah, we three witches and all that kind of bollocks, you know.
Is one of them not Helen of Troy?
No, not at all.
No.
So anyway, so then he's told, actually, you know, you are the son of a king.
Yeah.
So he then finds a beach where all these people are galloping up and down.
Right.
And
what, on horses?
Yeah, on horses, yeah. Right. And says, you know, I'm better than you and all that. And they beat him up and arrest him, take him back to the king. And the king suddenly says, you are my son.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know that? He's got a birthmark on his shoulder. It's all ridiculous.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
He's then ingratiated into the family.
It's not like modern, this, right? It's all done
it's
in
Troy.
A...
No, it's Troy. It's...
Yeah, but you know how sometimes they modernise it?
No, they don't modernise it.
Okay.
For instance, all the boats are being rowed by slaves again. You know,
oh, yeah,
lot
back
of slaves
to the
around.
Slaves. Yeah.
Yeah, back to the slaves and all that. So anyway, so he's then taken in by the king.
Mm.
And
what's
then,
the king? Which king is this?
The king of... You see, there's two nations.
The king of Greece.
No, hang on. No, it's not Greece, is it? Troy... Oh, they're Troyans. They're Troyans.
Trojans.
They're Troy.
You mean?
Trojans. They're Trojans.
The Trojans.
Trojans.
It's fucking Trojans.
So that's Troy. And they decide to
go...
They've
got a horse, right?
Eh?
The Trojan horse.
The Trojan horse.
Yeah.
But they then decide that they're going to make peace with their arch enemies across the sea.
Right. Who are they?
I think they're the Greeks.
The Greeks. Okay.
Where did Helen of Troy come from?
Troy.
No, she didn't. No, she ended up in Troy. That's the point. No. No, seriously, that's the point.
Well, I mean, the only people that they could have fought in those days, yeah, right, were probably the Carthaginians.
It could have been the Carthagians. Could have been the Carthagians.
Or possibly the Egyptians.
No, it was the Carthagians. I think it was the Carthagians.
Really?
So, anyway, so the king, who's now got his long-lost son Paris,
right,
back in.
Okay.
And he's now a prince. It's Prince Paris, okay?
Prince Paris.
Prince Paris.
Paris,
yeah.
Saint-Germain.
Yeah. So he says, go across the water, go and see the Carthaginians.
Right.
And
the Carthaginians.
Carthaginians,
yeah,
and make peace with them.
Okay.
So Paris says, I'll do that.
Right.
So he gets,
they're
the
kind
boat
of where Libya is now. The
Carthaginians. That's right, they probably are.
Carthage.
Yeah. Sea,
right,
of Death.
Yeah.
That's what Gaddafi used to call
the
it.
The line in the sand of the Sea of Death.
No, Gaddafi called it the Sea of Death. I spoke to him about it, actually, before he was.
Did you?
Someone,
you sure?
Killed, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Porky Jinks.
Yeah, that's right.
He spoke to you, then he got fucking assassinated.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. He got run out of town. So then he rowed across the old Mediterranean,
yeah,
I suppose, as it was.
It was, yeah.
And he lands with the Carthaginians.
Yeah.
And the Carthaginian king says, welcome, you know, this will be great, we'll make peace.
Right.
But then the Carthaginian king is told by somebody who comes and whispers in his ear at the banquet,
yeah,
one of our lands is being invaded, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So the Carthaginian king says, oh, bollocks.
What, by the Trojans?
No, it's being invaded by somebody else,
okay,
like from deepest Africa.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, because this is the north coast
this
of Africa,
is the north
obviously.
Coast of Africa, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he says, one of
our... I didn't know there's anybody there.
Well, I don't think there were a lot of people there, but he said, one of our lands is being invaded, master, you know. Oh, bollocks to this. So he says...
I can't imagine him saying that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's
bollocks to this.
So Paris says,
yeah,
this is terrible, you know, you want me to come with you? He says, no. He says, you must stay here, Paris,
uh-huh,
and protect my lands,
right,
and protect my wife. Helen of Troy. Helen. She's only known as Helen then.
Helen of Carthage.
Helen of Carthaginian, yeah, seriously. So, honestly, so what happens is... What happens is, by the way, Paris has already...
Are you going to do this for the whole show?
No, hang on. Paris has already indicated he'd love to give a real rumpy pumpy to Helen of Troy.
Oh, right, is she played by somebody quite
Helen
attractive?
Very attractive,
really?
Actress lady.
Uh-huh.
So the king must have missed this, because he says, I will now have to go and reclaim our lands. So he gallops out of the fort, you know, with his army.
Yeah, yeah.
And the very next moment, some, like, you know, slave arrives with a lantern, gives it to Paris,
right,
and says, follow the light. So he goes out the
follow
back
the
entrance
light
of the fort.
Well, he's carrying it.
Yeah.
Well, he's following the light,
yeah,
he's carrying.
Well, I don't know. And he walks down the
sure
path in the garden.
When he
no,
this?
No. And he goes into, like, there's a, you know, there's like an enclave at the bottom of the garden,
uh-huh,
where Helen,
right,
is waiting,
right,
with... an invitation,
yeah,
for a bit of horizontal refreshment.
Well,
with Paris.
Is there like a sort of a shed down there?
No, it's like a sort of stone built
summer
temple.
House.
It's like like a stone summer
yeah,
house,
yeah, yeah,
like a
okay
stone summer house.
All right.
So
and she's kind of lying there, is she?
She's lying there and saying, you know, give me some, you know, yeah, yeah, like in Carthaginian language,
Helen
obviously.
Of joy.
You know. Yeah. And so Paris gets stuck in,
right,
and it's very graphic, by the way,
really?
The sexy. Oh yes, I mean, you know,
is it horizontal refreshment or?
Oh,
is there
horizontal refreshment. I mean,
is there
big
another
stuff
way? I mean, there's not another sort
well,
of description
mission,
of it.
Missionary position stuff, I
yeah,
would
okay
say. Missionary
right
position
okay
stuff. Okay,
right.
And then when they finished, you know, an all nighter of the
yeah
old rumpy pumpy,
yeah,
she says, "Oh, you better go now." And he
right
says, "Why?" He says, "Well, if my husband has beaten the rebels and comes back and finds you here, he'll kill you."
Yes, well, there
well,
is
I'd
always
have thought
that
was pretty
danger
obvious.
Well,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
you've had a bit of that yourself, haven't you?
Yeah,
over,
I have.
Over the years,
I have.
You've had to scarf
yeah
before the husband.
But I've also
that
thought that if Paris had gone there to make peace with the Carthaginians because his father had told him to,
yeah,
the very worst thing you can do is to go and see the Carthaginians and then start rogering Carthaginian
yeah
king's wife.
That's not a great
idea. As a peace offering,
yeah,
you know
no
what I mean?
I can definitely see how that
yeah
wouldn't be the best
yeah
way to,
yeah
to go forward.
Anyway, after that, it gets worse, right? And then, obviously, Helen then pushes off back to Troy,
yeah,
the old Paris. That's why
oh,
she
so
became...
she leaves the guy from Carthage.
Yeah,
so
because she became known... Oh, by the way...
Yeah.
Carthaginian king was trying to fix Paris up with his 15-year-old daughter.
They had no morals in those
no
days.
No morals whatsoever.
Mind
no
you, didn't
morals
live very long, so actually 15 was probably quite a good age
well
to get married.
Well, whatever. But anyway, I'll let you know that.
Yeah, well,
anyway,
thank
you
must
to talk
me
about that. I want to talk to you about the first people who ever found civilization. They were called the Beakers.
The beakers?
They're called the beakers, honest to God.
Not like as in the beakers that you use in a lab?
The beakers were the guys who built Stonehenge.
Really?
And it is B-E-A-K-E-R. Do you know why they're called the beakers?
Why were they called the beakers?
Because they've just found a load of their beakers.
Beakers?
You know, cups.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're
so
called the beakers.
Did they have beakers?
That's where the
that's
beaker
rubbish.
Came from.
I used to live in Wiltshire, right? That's where Stonehenge is, right?
Yeah, that's
on
right.
On the side of the A303.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be building a big tunnel there, right? But they seem to have given up on it now.
Well, I mean, if you build a tunnel under Stonehenge, Stonehenge will collapse into the tunnel, won't it?
Well, you don't need to put it under Stonehenge. Yeah. I thought they were putting it under sort of what's next. Where is the A303 now.
Yeah, but that's a ridiculous thing to do.
Why?
Do you know why?
Why?
Well, because if you drive past the White House, you see the White House.
Yeah.
If you drive past the Eiffel Tower, you see the Eiffel Tower.
Well, both of those structures are a lot bigger than the bloody Stone
I know.
Which is actually rather disappointingly small.
I know it is. So what I'm saying is, if you build a tunnel a mile from Stonehenge, the road that goes under and comes up the other side, you never see Stonehenge.
Yeah.
So what a stupid thing to do.
Well,
we want to see Stonehenge.
Yeah, but they fear...
Build a bigger, safer road next to Stonehenge. That's what I say.
They fear that all the cars going past it are actually causing all sorts of damage to Stonehenge.
That's bollocks.
And it would be better to put the cars under the ground.
Let me tell you this. Over several hundred years, a period of several hundred years in the Stone Age...
Yeah.
excuse me.
You're right. Let's have some water.
Right. What happened was DNA analysis conducted on 400 prehistoric skeletons, right, found that the Beaker people took over Britain 500 years after B.C., No, 500 years.
500 years after BC.
No, they took over Beaker Britain 500 years after they built Stonehenge. And they replaced most of the Neolithic farmers who put up the monument. They killed them all. And they created a 5,000-year-old landmark which looked like the Mediterranean.
What?
No, I've got this wrong.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what I'm talking about here.
You're having a
I think
stroke.
That was in Cheddar Gorge or something. Anyway, the reason they called them the beakers
Hang on. And what about these barrows that were around? Do you know the barrows? You
know, it's where they buried people.
Yeah, I know. They're long barrows.
Bronze Age barrows.
Yeah, yeah. But
barrows.
All around Stonehenge. Because I kid
barrows
you not,
are from the Bronze Age.
I used to go home that way when I was working in London at the Mirror. And I used to drive back to Wiltshire. I would come down the A303 and take a right at Stonehenge, where you would travel all the way across Salisbury Plain. Which was fascinating.
Salisbury Plain was brilliant.
Yeah, beautiful
place.
I used
to watch the tanks there blowing each other up. It was great.
Well, you know, I told you when I lived in Easterton, which was the town outside of Devizes, which was the house which flooded all the time.
Yes.
When I used to stand outside having a fag, you could see the battle going on. But
you
couldn't hear
the flashes of the lights.
The flashes of the lights, because they deliberately had to have silent battle.
That's right, yeah.
But so you see, it was really weird.
Well, I came round a bend once as I was crossing Salisbury Plain, going from Cheltenham at the end of the races down to my family in Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And I came whizzing round this bend, right,
you
at high speed.
You shouldn't have been going that way, should you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really? Yeah, I went over Salisbury Plain.
Shouldn't
you
have gone down the M5?
I think I was going to see old Reesey in
Marlborough.
Marlborough, that's right. Yeah, so I went across Salisbury Plain.
Yeah.
So I whizzed around in doing very fast because I'd borrowed a car once again from...
Borrowed a car?
I think I was driving a Porsche, borrowed a car because...
Borrowed a Porsche?
Yeah, borrowed a Porsche,
Well, you mean from the motor editor?
Yes, because the motor editor was a pisshead and he was always drunk. Mm. And when...
Unlike you.
Thank you. And when Porsche used to bring him a car and say, can you road test this? He'd say yes and then give the keys to me because he was so pissed all the time he couldn't drive.
Yeah.
Which is not a good qualification.
Did you have to review the car, though?
No. He knew all about the car. I just
You never wrote a piece about it?
Never. Why would I? Yeah. Why would
I? Because that's part of the deal.
Yeah, I know, but I mean...
They give you a car, so you write about it.
Yeah, but what could I say? Oh, I really felt the surge of power from the 233 brake horsepower
engine.
Yeah, well,
that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I come around this bend, right, and I brake just in time because a Chinook helicopter... Yeah. Which has two rotors, two blades.
Yeah. You see them flying around London sometimes.
You do.
They've got,
saw
they
one
go,
the other
you know,
day.
They go down to the SAS unit down by Canary Wharf.
That's right. I saw one the other day.
And those sounds very, very different from a normal helicopter.
Well, of course they do, because they've got a double beat on the rotor. You know, boom, boom,
it's
boom,
much
boom,
louder.
Boom, 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 boom. That's right. Mm. And this, I came round, this Chinook helicopter was lifting a tank off the road.
Yeah, they carry a big net.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine a helicopter can lift a tank?
I know.
You know, you'd think, hang on, a helicopter hovers in the air, how can that lift a tank? But it did.
Well, they're very powerful things.
Yeah, but anyway, getting back to the beakers, they were known as the beakers. Now, the reason why the word beaker came to the English language was because when they found the bell-shaped devices that the beaker race used to drink from, they were all stained and tainted with alcohol, mead and beer.
Really?
Mead and beer.
Okay.
So the beaker became a fashionable word in the English language because they were used to drink alcohol as long as 500 years after Stonehenge. And we don't even know when Stonehenge was built, by the way.
So how do they know it's 500 years after something they don't know happened?
Because Professor E. Normit, who's from the University of Bradford.
Bradford?
Yeah.
That's nowhere near there. Is it Bradford-on-Avon? Yeah, the place called Bradford-on-Avon.
Yeah, this could be between 4,400 and 4,700 years ago. Mm. The belt-shaped pots made by the Beaker people spread across Western and Central Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And for more than a century, archaeologists have argued over whether the pottery implied large-scale migration of people or merely the exchange of new ideas and culture discussed over a lot of glasses of mead and beer.
Really?
How about that?
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So, if they're called the Beaker people, right, are they called the Beaker people because of the beakers that were found?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Which is a pretty unimaginative name, to be honest. Yeah, why would you call them that?
I'm fed up with talking beakers.
Yeah, but the point is, why would you call them that?
I told you about beakers.
You give them something else to do.
B-E-A-K-E are the Beaker people. Listen.
I was once driving across Salisbury Plain, and there was some manoeuvres going on.
Oh, yes.
And there was a tank. And these things used to fly, by the way, because I had the two kids in the car.
What do you mean, fly?
Fly. I mean, I don't mean fly in the air. I mean, used to go fast.
Oh, I see. They rumbled across the ground very fast.
70 miles an hour, which I didn't know.
No.
Yes, it did.
No, maximum speed of a tank is 50 miles.
Not
an hour.
True.
James Hewitt told me.
Well, James Hewitt's a fucking liar.
No, James Hewitt's a
guy
tank
who said
commander.
He never shagged Princess Diana.
James Hewitt? No, he never said that. He made a fortune out of selling books saying he shagged.
But he didn't. Did he?
And by the way, show a bit more respect, Diana, Princess of Wales, please.
Why?
And she had a few relationships after her marriage broke up. Let's make that clear.
Well, she had a few relationships while her marriage was still going on.
I think that's a bit harsh.
It's not a bit harsh at all.
Come on, she's got two sons, and we mustn't talk like that.
Oh, really? What? We're still expecting some kind of OBE or something?
No.
We're supposed to be able to say whatever we want on
here.
You said that yourself. Anyway, no, the point is that he's wrong about that because I was driving and I was doing about 55, 60 miles an hour.
Right.
And this tank came past me, right? It was on the grass. I was on the road.
Yeah, sure.
And I thought, this is quite interesting. So I started speeding up. He started speeding up. We got to 75 and we're both doing 75.
A tank doing 75?
He's on the grass.
What sort of tank was it?
I don't know.
But what are the British tanks are called?
Well, there was the Warrior, which was the armoured car.
Wasn't the merchant tank? Chieftain's a tank.
It might be a chieftain. I don't know. I'm not an expert in military hardware. Yeah. But certainly they're the ones that I'd seen in Bosnia. It was all done in camouflage, right? As if it was going to go to the Gulf War.
Yes.
But as we were driving, and I could see a guy sticking his head out the top, right?
Yeah.
They turned the turret round, the gun turret round, and
to
pointed
fire
it at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like just for a bit of a laugh. No, just for a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, what if they really are not having a laugh and some idiot's maniac's in there and he's going to fire it?
Could
so
be a big
I slammed
problem,
the
man.
Brakes on. Mm. And off they went. And they were doing good 70, 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, but I wonder if we've got
over
the budget
rough terrain
in the military to do that anymore. You know what I mean? Because we're so short.
Well, they're not allowed to fire any missiles.
Well, down in Gosport, wasn't I, the other week? And there's no ships now. The only ship we've
Gosport's
got is the aircraft
very
carrier.
Very depressing now,
isn't
it?
No, Gosport's fine.
What do you mean fine?
It's fine.
What's fine about it?
Good town, man.
Did you not see that there was a load of crime committed there the other day?
Well, crime gets committed everywhere.
Yeah, but not mostly.
Crime in Surrey.
It mostly
people
gets committed where you are.
No, it's not.
You live in Gosport, there's a load of crime. You live in Sutton, there's a load of crime.
No, not at all, not at all. I don't live in Sutton, I live in Epsom.
Epsom?
Just
well,
off
how come
Epsom
the Sutton police came to sort out your problem?
Because they're the local police station.
Haven't they got a police station in Epsom?
No, they haven't anymore.
Are you sure?
I'm certain.
Absolutely certain.
They closed
everything,
down. Listen, I wanted to tell you a story about Paul Scholes, right?
Paul Scholes?
You know who Paul Scholes is?
Yeah, because I know who he is.
Right, okay, yeah.
Now, he had to borrow a pair of football boots recently.
That was incredible.
We had to talk about it.
Now, how did you know that?
Well, because it was in all the papers. That's how I know about it.
Yeah.
How do you know about it? Did somebody whisper in your ear?
No. It wasn't that he had to borrow a pair of football boots. Let me tell you.
He had to buy a pair, didn't he?
He had to buy a pair to go to the local sports shop.
Yeah, why?
Now, well, because what happened was he was a coach at Manchester United.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden he wanted to come back. So it wasn't Sir Alex Ferguson, ringing him up and saying, look, we're in trouble here. We're struggling. Can you come back?
Right.
He actually got itchy feet. So as he was looking after the academy, he was seeing the other first team players training in another part of the cliff, isn't it?
No.
Manchester United training. Carrington. It used to be the cliff. Yeah, it's Carrington. Carrington. Absolutely right, yeah. And so he went to Sir Alex Ferguson and said, look, I think I retired today. I want to come back. He said, very, very nervous because Sir Alex Ferguson might have said, no, I don't need
you. Tremendous player.
No, one of the best.
One of the greatest midfielders of all time.
Sir Alex Ferguson said, that's a great idea. When can you start?
Yeah.
And he said, give me a week and a half to get fit and I can play a week on Tuesday for that cup game or something like that.
Okay.
He said, brilliant,
right.
You're still registered. Anyway, on the day of the game, right, and he stopped training the academy because he was now back in the first team squad, he gets a phone call before he leaves home in his car to drive to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
On this particular occasion, they hadn't stayed in a hotel the night before, which they often do now.
Yeah.
And it was the bootman at Old Trafford. And said, Paul, I've only just found out, you know, because it's all been top secret and all that, but you're playing. I said, we haven't got any boots.
Right.
He said, what do you mean? He said, we haven't got any of your boots.
Right.
He said, why? He said, well, when you retired, Nike cancelled your contract, so they haven't sent any boots in since
like
6 months ago.
Surely he would have had some of his own boots, though, wouldn't he? Why didn't he have his own?
No, this is what the kit guy had done. Yeah. He'd rung him at home and said, so bring a pair, will you, from home?
Right.
So Paul Scholes was too embarrassed to say he didn't have any boots in the house, right?
Right. But why didn't he, though?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's like you saying,
they'd be
got
at the youth
pens.
Academy, wouldn't they, where he was working.
It's a bit like you saying, I've got a pen.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
it
was giving me a hard time, but I mean, I have a lot of pens. The point is, I just don't always have them with me.
Point of the story is, he then has to go to, you know, Trafford retail park or something like
and
that.
And hit up the what do you call it? The and go to Sport, what's it called?
Sports Direct or something, or JD Sports or something. Walks in and says, oh, no. And obviously the kid there, about 18.
Going, you look like Paul Scholes.
Yeah. Hey, you look like Paul Scholes. Yeah, all right, so never mind about that. I want a pair of size 9 boots, please.
Yeah.
What sort do you want? I don't care. Just give me a pair of 9 size boots, you know. And I paid him. And it's a bit like our experience when we were in Glasgow with Rod Stewart.
Yes.
And Rod wanted a pair of particular trainers.
Well, you did.
For
but
his
you're not supposed
kit.
To be telling that story. You're supposed to be, you were sworn to secrecy on the story that you've already tried to tell it once on the air.
Okay.
And Rod said to you, you're going to get me in terrible trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Don't tell
with
the story.
Penny.
All right. Well, let's just say.
But
years
say
ago.
We ended up in a place of footwear selling.
That's right.
Right. And he couldn't. He didn't find the things he was looking for anyway.
No, but the kid there was about 18, walked towards him. Rod was typically dressed as Rod Stewart. He'd just come away from Hampden Park.
Sports jacket on.
Sports jacket on, that kind of stuff. He was rather irritated because we'd been stuck in traffic.
The funniest thing that happened there, though, was when we got out, we were in this kind of people mover, right? Which was ferrying us around. It was terrible traffic.
Yeah.
And we were finally got through the city and onto the other side where this place was. And I was sure that there was one nearer, but I didn't really want to pipe up and go, hey, by the way, guys, you know, you know, to fucking drive halfway across Scotland.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was slightly ahead of me. And I think you were slightly ahead of me as well. And as I was walking in, this voice went, hey, Mike, what are you doing? And I looked around and there was this guy, his punter, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, mate, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
I said, oh, I'm with him. He said, Porky, oh, he's here, is he? All right, oh, you guys are great, fantastic. And I said, no, not him, the other guy. He went, who? I went, fucking Rod Stewart. He went, all right, great.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd missed Rod Stewart altogether and recognised us.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Which was incredible, really.
Unbelievable. Well, I think you'll find, without putting, you know, Sir Rod, as we should call him down.
Sir Rod.
He knew there was another outlet, but he'd been told, because his boy had investigated it, the only place where he could get this particular one was at the one we went to.
Right, which, of course, turned out not to be true.
When we got there, it wasn't there.
Well, it's one of those things you learn as a father, actually, and I'm surprised Sir Rod, having had so many kids, has not learned it.
No, I'm sure he has.
It's basically never take the word of a teenager about anything.
No, I don't think he was a teenager who told him. It was I mean, his lads are not teenagers yet.
Well, whatever age they are.
It was some guy he'd got to investigate it.
Yeah.
Look. They probably did have that pair there that morning. They'd probably been sold
or
something.
Very, very
possible,
I mean? Yeah.
But I mean, look, I wouldn't worry about it. The great thing about it is, as we said later, is if we'd have been on a scheduled flight, we might have been rushing to the airport to get the flight.
True.
We didn't have to.
No.
Because it was Rod's private plane.
You don't think many people know this story?
And a private plane takes off as and when Sir Rod says to the pilot,
did you see that great picture, by the way, of Ronaldo? getting out of his plane the other day with his girlfriend.
What was that?
Well, I mean, Ronaldo apparently, I think, has got some kind of injury of late, which is stopping him from playing a little bit to his satisfaction.
Yes.
So he was flying. Real Madrid was supposed to be playing somebody in the Champions League. I can't remember who it was. And he wasn't able to play, I don't think.
Who, Ronaldo?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I think he did play.
Did he?
Anyway, yeah,
well, anyway, he had some kind of, you know, some kind of issue where he couldn't fly with the rest of the team. I feel like, do you remember when he played for Portugal against Northern Ireland?
That's right. And he flew, going back on his own plane.
He finished the game at Windsor Park, or wherever it was.
That's right.
And he took his limo arrives.
That's right.
He gets in the limo.
Yeah.
He fucks off to the airport.
Didn't even get changed.
No, gets on his own plane, flies back to Madrid.
That's right, yeah.
But nobody else gets to go with him.
Yeah, but I mean, in fairness, he was playing for Portugal, and the Portuguese team were going back to Portugal. So,
well,
you know,
no, they weren't all going back to Portugal. I mean, you don't think all the Portuguese players play in Portugal,
he got his own flight, anyway.
Well, the point is he had his own plane. But there's a fantastic picture of
that's
him.
That's our ambition,
which I will show you.
When Two Mics TV gets up and running, we're going to have the Two Mics plane.
That's ridiculous.
No, we'll have the tail fin.
That's
typical of you,
Two
Mics TV.
Yeah, that's typical of you.
Number two, and then...
You know, because you just want to show off.
MTV.
No. Why don't you get it painted that nice gold colour like your shitty car?
That's a very harsh thing to say. How dare you describe my car like that? My car's a wonderful car.
Yeah, but it's a horrible colour.
No, it's
sure
so
it's
wonderful.
A very nice
so
car.
So wonderful. Carjackers tried to steal it
off
me.
Well, they didn't try very hard, did they?
Well, they weren't very good carjackers.
An old geezer like you managed to beat them away.
They learned their lesson that night.
Did they?
Don't fuck with the pork mice,
They learned that. They certainly did, More from the pork meister and myself coming soon on the Record. Do you eat goat, by the way?
No.
Do you know there's a place, I'm going to take you there, in Borough Market, called Gourmet Goat?
No,
it's really good, they do it.
No,
but you mean fuck off, they do it in a...
No, I didn't say that.
No, they do it.
No.
They do it in a, in like a sort of, the equivalent of a sort of, an Indian bread, right?
Not for me,
and it's like a kebab, and they put a bit of salad.
Do you know what goats eat?
What do you mean what they eat?
Goats eat tin cans.
Nah, they eat grass.
They do. They eat anything. They eat tin cans.
It doesn't matter.
So I'm not going to eat an animal that ingests, like, anything.
Why not?
Because it eats tin cans.
Well,
I don't want to mess with my food, eh?
You eat fish fingers, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what they keep finding in fish now?
No.
They keep finding plastic. No, they keep finding plastic
now. Not in the fish fingers I eat.
Of course they do.
Mine are of the highest quality.
Where do you think they come from?
No.
No, listen, everything that swims in the sea now, right, is ingesting more plastic than you can shake a stick at.
And they replaced most of the Neolithic farmers
who
put up the monument. They killed them all. And they created a 5,000-year-old landmark which looked like the Mediterranean.
What?
No, I've got this wrong.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what I'm talking about here.
You having a stroke?
I think that was in Cheddar Gorge or something. So I was around in doing very fast because I borrowed a car once again from...
Borrowed a car?
I think I was driving a Porsche, borrowed a car because...
Borrowed a Porsche?
Yeah, borrowed a Porsche,
What, you mean from the motor editor?
Yes, because the motor editor was a pisshead and he was always drunk. Mm. And when...
Unlike you.
Thank you. And when Porsche used to bring him a car and say, can you road test this? He'd say yes and then give the keys to me because he was so pissed all the time he couldn't drive. Don't fuck with a pork mice.
Really.
Where did Helen of Troy come from?
Troy.
No, she didn't. No, she ended up in Troy. That's the point, no.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.